Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. Just a few weeks ago at our church, we had an amazing service where the whole history of God's plan of redemption was unfolded from Scripture alone, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Even though I was familiar with the Scripture shared, the prophecies and God's unfolding plan of redemption, I was struck with one thought at the end, that salvation is of the Lord. Our salvation is all by God's grace alone and nothing else but grace and grace alone. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden by their disobedience and sin and death came into the world, God didn't have to implement Plan B. Nothing that happened in the garden took God by surprise. God already knew what He was going to do from beginning to end. It was always God's plan to redeem fallen man and to one day send His Son into the world to destroy forever the power of sin, Satan, and death, all for His glory and His honor and praise. God's plan, His eternal covenant of redemption for our salvation, was all part of His eternal plan. I love what God's Word says in Revelation 13:8, that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. As I listened to the message that day, shared straight from Scripture itself, it was as if I were traveling back through time from the Old Testament and then all the way through to the New Testament. As the Scriptures were unfolded and the message of salvation became more clear and brought into focus, it was as if you could see the tracks of God's unstoppable grace train coming through, coming straight to you, to God's people. Even back in the garden, in the fall of sin, you could clearly see God's love and His grace coming through. Adam and Eve, they didn't go to God. God went to them and then pronounced to them all by His grace His eternal rescue plan. At every step, when Satan sought to destroy and to stop God's plan by cutting off the godly seed line or by mankind growing so wicked that God had to destroy the world by a worldwide flood to start over again, all except for one man and his family, we still see God's unstoppable grace train coming down the tracks. I used to think that Noah was saved because he was so righteous or maybe almost close to perfect, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Again, we see here that salvation is of the Lord, and it's all because of God's grace, and it has nothing to do with us or our own righteousness. The same is true about the patriarch Abraham. Abraham was called of God and chosen by God to be the one through whom God would bring about His eternal rescue plan, God's plan of redemption through God's godly seed line. But was Abraham perfect? Nope. Twice he lied and tried to give his wife away to just protect himself. I don't think we would call that a righteous man. So how then was Abraham deemed to be righteous before God if Abraham wasn't righteous in himself? Well, the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham was no angel, but he was a man of faith and a friend of God. And because Abraham by faith put his trust in the Lord, Abraham became the father of faith to all who would believe. God made a promise, a covenant to Abraham, that through Abraham, through his promised seed, that the promised one would one day come who would bless all the families of the earth. This promise that God made to Abraham is way bigger than to just Abraham's physical seed line, to Israel, who are God's chosen covenant people, through whom were entrusted the Scriptures, the very Word of God, and all the promises of God, and were the family birthline of Christ. Yet God's promise of blessing also includes and encompasses all of us, who are in Christ, who have believed in the promised one, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is both amazingly Abraham's physical seed and the very Son of God. And just like Abraham believed God for all who put their faith alone in Christ and God's Son, it is counted to us for righteousness to all who believe. As I here reflect back on the Old Testament stories like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph in Egypt, and then Moses, and God delivering His people from Pharaoh by the shed blood of the Passover lamb and the parting of the Red Sea, plus all the miracles in the wilderness and the conquering and the settling of the Promised Land, these aren't just Bible bedtime stories to me or images from my flannograph Sunday school picture days. These are historical counts and the very handprints of God's intervening grace. It is here through the biblical record that God is laying down His tracts of grace and is unfolding His plan of redemption, all to bring about our salvation and through it all, pointing us to Christ. When we step back and see the big picture of Scripture unfold before us, I stand amazed at the wholeness of Scripture, of God's Word. It's as if everywhere we turn in God's Word, both in the big picture and in the small, specific details, we see Christ in all of Scripture, and that's because that is what the whole of Scripture is all about. I heard a pastor and a teacher of God's Word once say that this Bible that we hold in our hands is really a hymn book. It's all about Him. It's Christ in all of Scripture, and all of Scripture, Christ. We see Christ and our need for Christ even in the supposed differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Why did God give us a high and holy law that knowing that we would never be able to keep it? If Adam and Eve couldn't even obey one commandment, how can we possibly try to keep and obey the Ten Commandments, let alone all the other laws in this book? The answer is, we can't. But as Apostle Paul said, the purpose of the law was to be our tutor, to drive us to Christ, so that we see our great need for Christ, for no man can keep the law or by the deeds of the law be justified in God's sight. Even the whole Old Testament tabernacle, temple, sacrificial, and priestly system, we see our need for a better sacrifice, a better priest, because the blood of animals can never take away our sin once and for all. We also see our need for a great high priest, one who is both like us, yet himself without sin. Here again we see God's grace train and God's unfolding picture and plan of salvation coming through. This promised one who is to come is both our lamb slain and our great high priest. He is both our sin bearer who made atonement for our sin by the outpouring of his perfect precious blood and also is given to us to be our righteousness by faith alone in him, having now through him the very righteousness of God. I remember when I was in driver's ed class years ago as a teen that they told us that you hear a train coming before you actually see a train. But regardless, when you come to a train track crossing, you need to stop, look, and listen. God's salvation train tracks through Scripture are always there, running straight through. But every now and then, we come across a major intersection of God's grace tracks. And it is especially here that we need to stop, look, and listen, for God's grace train is coming. In the Old Testament, we may not be able to see God's salvation plan fully revealed yet, but we hear the whistle blowing and the tremendous roar of the engines coming down the tracks, all according to God's time and God's plan. Another one of those major intersections in Scripture is God's promise, God's covenant that he made to David while he was king. David longed to build God a house for God to dwell in, but God said, "No, I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to build you a kingdom. And from you, from your sons, will one day come one whose kingdom and rule will last forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." David was overwhelmed at the outpouring of God's grace and mercy upon him because he knew that he didn't deserve it. David said, "Who am I, Lord, that you would show your favor and kindness to me and my house?" It's interesting that here in 2 Samuel chapter 7, the Bible tells us why God was doing all this and pouring out his grace and making an eternal covenant with David and his people. The Bible says God went to redeem for a people to himself, to be a people unto thee forever. Thou, Lord, art become their God. I love the picture here of God's gracious redemption. It was never about people deserving salvation or people working their way up to God, but always God coming down and going after his people to redeem them and to lasso them into himself with his everlasting arms of grace and love, bringing them back to him. It was always God's plan to redeem his people, and he would be their God, and they would be his people forever. But still, the problem of sin remains, and God's people are completely unable to keep and obey the law of God in the Old Testament covenants because God is holy and we are not. We are not able not to sin. We are not sinners because we sin, but we sin because we are sinners. So what did God do? He made a new covenant, a better covenant, an eternal covenant with his people. God promised that one day he would raise up his people who were dead in trespasses and sins. He would breathe life into them by his Spirit and cleanse them and wash them of all their sins through his blood of the new covenant, through his Son. Through faith alone in Christ Jesus, God would remove their heart of stone and give to them a heart of flesh and put his Spirit within them so that they would have a new spirit and they would be his people and he would be their God, and then his people could obey him and keep his covenant, all by his Spirit living and indwelling them within. This is nothing less than the very picture of our salvation and what Christ would do for us to all who would believe in the promise of the indwelling presence of God by His Spirit to now live a life pleasing unto the Lord. We, by God's will and His good pleasure, are His people that He gave Himself for and was slain for by His blood from the foundation of the world. God gave to us by faith alone in Him not only the forgiveness of sin, but also the gift of righteousness, all by His grace and His grace alone. But as we turn to the pages to the New Testament, we see that God's grace train isn't just coming down the tracks or running underground. It's right here in front of us. It's already here. In Christ, the grace of God is fully revealed to us in the flesh in the face of Jesus Christ. Here in the New Testament at Christ's first coming, all the tracks have been laid down and all the pieces of God's plan of redemption for our salvation are all culminating in God's grace train in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and at the great intersection of the cross. It is here now that we must stop, look, and listen. And also, one more thing, because all of God's grace train tickets are paid in full, now we must believe and get on board by placing our faith alone in Christ as our Lord and Savior. Christ has now come and has purchased His people by His blood and redeemed us to Himself, all by His grace. As the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." And in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, probably one of the most famous grace verses in the whole Bible, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." From beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, the Scriptures make it clear that our salvation is of the Lord and is all by God's grace every step of the way. One day Christ is coming again, and God's people will be with Him one day forever. But until that day, how do we live? By God's grace, and living each day from grace to grace and strength to strength. Recently, I just rewatched the movie The Hiding Place about Corrie ten Boom, who was in a Nazi concentration camp in northern Germany at Ravensbrück for hiding Jews in Holland. Her father had died, and so had her beloved sister Betsy, all because of their imprisonment at the hands of the Nazis. Towards the very end of the movie, Corrie was standing at roll call early in the morning when she heard her number called to report to the officers, and she thought that was it. This was the end. She was actually going to be released on what would later be called a clerical error, but as she walked to the building to report to them, she didn't know that, and she thought she was going to be put to death. She quickly said her goodbyes to her fellow prisoners, encouraged them in the Lord, and then as she was walking to the rebuilding to report in, she reflected back in her memory to what she had asked her father years ago when she was just a little girl. She remembered asking, "Papa, Papa, what is it like to die?" Her father said, "When you and I go to Amsterdam, when do I give you your ticket?" Young little Corrie said to her father, "Just before we get on the train." Then Corrie remembered what her loving papa then said to her that day, "So it is with death. When the time comes, our wise Heavenly Father will give you all the strength you need." And so it is with us today. Each day, we as God's children can come boldly before the throne of grace and find all the strength and the grace we need at in our very moment and time of need. We receive God's grace that God longs to give us each day as we look to Christ, who alone is our life and our gracious Lord and Savior. We are saved by grace. We live each day by grace. And by God's sovereign grace, one day we will see our Lord and Savior and be with our Heavenly Father, all because of God's grace forever. Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations. And may God's grace be with you today. And as you share both the biblical story and your own personal story of God's amazing grace with all those around you, including the future generations.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.
Tell me again. Jesus.